Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Do Go On. That's right, the comedy podcast, the show where we find something interesting and talk about it, and hopefully we make it interesting enough for you not to turn off the show. That's the plan. My name is Dave Warnke, and I'm sitting here with my chum, my cohort, my co-host to the stars, Matt Stewart.
Hey, Dave, how's it going? This is a comedy podcast, is it? When did that happen?
Well, it starts now. From now, right? Can you tell us a great joke?
Oh, jeez. That's a little bit of pressure. Could I maybe throw it across to my co-host, my cohort, my chum, Jess Perkins?
Oh, hello, Matthew. Hello, David.
Hello, Jess Perkins. That's right. You are here to spark them up. How are you going?
I'm very well. I'm feeling like now I need to be really energetic. And sometimes I'm worried that my voice goes a bit meh, so I have to be very careful of that.
You've also got to be comedy, apparently. Oh, this is a comedy podcast.
That's right. Well, Matt and I are the boring people that like trivia a lot.
Okay. I wish you had have told me then beforehand that I'm here for the comedy and the vigour.
You are the comedic relief.
Sense of vigour.
Okay. All right. Well, whoo.
Hey, should we get started with today's topic?
Yes.
And it's up to you to introduce that topic, Matt, because it is your turn. You've researched something, you've prepared a report, and Jess and I have no idea what you're about to talk about.
Well, how we like to do it is kicking it off with a question.
Because it's a trivia sort of inspired podcast.
Yeah, well, I have battled for a question here, and this is not a good one, but and like super misleading. But let's give it a go now. What would you say is Australia's greatest invention?
Australia's greatest invention.
Hills hoist.
Oh, damn, I was going to say Hills hoist. Vegemite?
Oh, good one.
Actually, I'm not even into Vegemite, but
none
I know
either.
A lot of... Oh, high five, Jess. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
To back up all of my opinions.
And do you get abused for that all the time? If you're like, I'm not that big on Vegemite. People are like, what do you mean? You're not Australian then.
The one that I get abused about is I don't drink coffee. People get in there and they want to beat the shit out of you
for
that.
No,
they're both big flavours. Maybe you're not a big flavour guy.
Yeah.
I think the younger you are, right?
I'm more of a dull bread man.
There's something about...
dull bread, but loud shirts, so...
That's right.
Yeah. That's true. There's something about, like, as you get older, your taste buds die and you need grosser foods, I reckon. Just
need
to make
them.
Yourself taste anything.
I need a taste.
I just need a taste.
Oh, Vegemite. That used to be gross, but oh, I love it now.
Now I can feel something. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
All right, anyway. Here's another invention my dad tells me every time I get into an aeroplane is the evacuation slide. You know the bit that people jump down? It's an Australian invention.
I think so is the black box.
Spray on skin for burn victims.
Oh. Wow.
Australian woman invented that.
No, this was invented in 1858.
Okay.
1858. Probably wasn't the NBN.
No, probably wasn't. Probably wasn't the NBA either, because that's American.
You're getting warmer there, though.
Oh. Well.
Cricket.
No.
Oh.
Australian invention.
AFL?
Yes.
Oh,
oh my goodness. Australian rules football. Yeah. Is that what we're talking about?
That's what we're talking about.
And you think that's a better invention than the Hills Hoist and Vegemite?
Well, that's such a poor question. Oh, maybe.
That's right. It's always a question that has no factual answer.
I think I think it's a pretty great game. I have no, and this is something I was thinking about. I have no idea if either of you know anything or have any interest at all in Australian rules football. Do you?
Oh, nah.
Look, I've got a team.
But yeah, I've got a team.
Oh, who are your teams?
I got Collingwood.
Okay.
I've got Collingwood, which is, if you're not an Australian person, that's a pretty controversial. It's a very popular team, but that's the...
It's the most hated, yeah.
The team that everyone
like the
else
Man,
dislikes. Yeah.
Man United version. Oh, God, yeah. Talking well. The EPL, Collingwood would be the Man United.
So
or the, what would be the American
popular.
Version of it? New York Yankees, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a very popular team. I'm not sure if everyone else... I think people always talk
they
about...
They just love to hate them.
I hate Pittsburgh. I've heard people say that. I don't know what that means.
Now give me the example of the Indian Premier League cricket.
Oh, the Chennai Super Kings. Everyone
Chennai
hates
Super
those.
Kings, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I can't believe you had an answer to that.
Oh, that's right. It's them or the Mumbai Royals, am I right? Goodness. My goodness. I know a lot about sports. No, cricket's probably one of my favourites. They're the Leighton Hewitt of...
Yeah.
More like the Pete Sampras.
Yeah.
My team is... See what, if you've got any sort of
you're
examples.
From the affluent east, so I reckon you're definitely a Hawthorne man.
Hawthorne man. No, I live in Hawthorne now in a house that I rent. So, shittiest house on the most expensive street.
That's what they say. That's the one
that's
to buy.
The one, yeah, that's the one.
That's the one to rent.
Yeah, that's the one to rent. We rent it every week for 40 years. We'll own it at the end, won't we?
If no. Lee Matthews, he used to be on an ad where rent money is dead money, and he's talking about renting to buy us. Anyway, he's the greatest ever AFL player.
What?
Is that what you think?
No, that's what the AFL, or he was the player of the
Lee
century.
Matthews, cause I only
Lee
know Matthews, him as a
Lethal
coach.
Lee.
As a coach.
Yeah.
I only know him as a mortgage salesman.
Mortgage salesman. That's finally something I can relate to. No, I go for and I chose this as a child, the Western Bulldogs.
Oh, great team.
Bulldogs.
Great team.
Why did you choose them?
Well, everyone else in my family is Richmond supporters, and I want to be a bit different. My sister was big into football as a child, not anymore, just in the primary school years. And I think the Bulldog... In my head, I thought that a Bulldog could beat a Tiger, because, you know, cats versus dogs.
Yeah,
but a Tiger would, I think, destroy any sort of dog.
Biggest cat in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pound
not,
for pound.
Not even just dogs. I think it could take most animals.
The only one that could beat it, I reckon, is the Essendon Bombers, because you've
got... Oh, yeah, good one.
I don't know. What about the Demons?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Demon?
They're like superhuman...
What about a possessed...
Demons.
What about a possessed... superhuman demons. What about a possessed...
He's cracked himself up.
Good one, Matt. Just leave the jokes to Perkins, all right?
See, you did say it was a comedy podcast. I didn't believe you until then.
Until right
now, I'm on board.
Until you thought about superhuman demons. So I went with the Western Bulldogs, and they've never been good in my lifetime until this year. They're doing.
That's not true. They've played in multiple preliminary finals in your lifetime.
Yeah, but they've not been any good. Come on,
teams. My team, the Saints, have knocked you out of the finals 3 times in our lifetime. Anyway,
so you're a St Kilda fan.
I'm a St Kilda man who is the most loserish team of the competition.
Do they get the wooden spoon this year?
They've had the most wooden spoons by a long way. No, they're not currently the worst, but they are long time the worst.
Oh,
they've
overall?
They've won nearly 30 wooden spoons.
In, what, 150 years?
The comp hasn't been around that long. The game itself has been around that long.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so one third of the time, if it's 100 years, every third year,
they're
the bottom team. Yeah. So why do you pick them?
I grew up in Moorabbin, where they used to play. It was a family thing. I was born a Carlton supporter. And because that was my mum's side of the family, moved to Moorabbin, and my uncle John said, "Matt, can I have you for a minute?" And he brought me into the front lounge room of my parents' house.
He sat
me down and said...
Gave you a talking to.
Matt, you go for the Saints now. And I said, "Okay, John." And that was it. And I've been a member... of the I pay $300 a year to be a member of that team.
Oh my goodness!
So yeah, it was
ever since that. Yeah. Was he a very intimidating, convincing man?
He had a strong mustache.
Yeah, well, you can't say
not one of them weak sort of pencil ones.
Like a proper, like 70s policeman
mouth
mustache.
Kind of mustache, yeah.
And then, since then, has he led you astray in any other respect?
No, never did me wrong,
Matt.
Uncle John.
You love avocados now. Yes, John. Yes, I do.
Now that was Hamish from the bakery at Safeway who got me into avocados. But anyway,
shout out to Hamish.
Should we? I have written somewhat of a report here, and we haven't even got into it at all. So,
I'm going to ask you to do go on. Name of the show, everyone.
Well, all right.
It's a game show. What sort of show is it? Is it comedy? Is it a game show?
Oh, it's.
Do go on!
We're all confused here.
Come on down and
Dave's
do go
only
on.
Got two speeds, Zero and Baby John Burgess.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I got.
Is that too old of a reference? Hey, Tony Barber? Glenn Ridge? Who's the guy on of the shows?
I got the Burgess reference.
Family Feud guy?
Grant Denyer. What about, the most insane Denyer, person on television is Andrew O'Keefe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That
crazy.
Guy is insane.
All right,
and my hero, by default.
All right, zero to Andrew O'Keefe. We'll go with that. So I want to just paint a picture, right? This is just because in my head I'm like 1858, the game was invented. I just have no real concept of what that means. So I looked up on the internet some things around the world that happened in 1858. The Advertiser started that year, the Adelaide Advertiser newspaper.
Great. Definitely something for our international listeners there.
Well, good, if you like that.
Because you said around the world, well, and then you started in Adelaide.
All right.
Ooh.
Ooh, my goodness. You know that benchmark? Is like...
You guys familiar with the Wedding March?
Yeah.
It's the song that became popular that year because it was played at the marriage of Queen Victoria's daughter, Victoria, to Prince Frederick of Prussia.
How does a wedding march
Prussia,
go?
So Germany didn't exist yet.
That's how old this
yeah,
is.
So
I just had mad deja vu. I'm sorry, keep going.
Yeah, you're
I feel like I've been here before.
That's right. Well, Germany
yeah, you have. You were here the other week.
I
think Germany's about 60 years away. It's just before the First World War that Germany gets together.
Yeah.
So,
we should do
so
a Germany episode one time. Yep. And I looked up the pronunciation. Are you guys familiar with the Lourdes apparitions? It was a Christian thing where a young French girl in the town of Lourdes.
How do you spell it?
Lourdes. I'm pretty sure the S is silent in
Lourdes.
French, but the way we would bastardize it would be Lourdes, I'd say. But anyway, I learned about this in primary school. This young peasant girl, Bernadette, saw the mother, Mary, in the sky. People still go... I've been there. I went there a few years ago. People still go there to get the holy water to cure cancer and stuff. Obviously, a load of bullshit, but that's still...
Well, obviously not, because you survived.
That's true.
You're back.
I'm back. That's true. I did have a pretty bad hangover. Cleared right up the next
day.
Just drank a gallon of that stuff. The city of Denver, Colorado was founded.
Ah.
1858. And finally, this one is a nice one. Rudolf Diesel... the inventor of the diesel engine was born.
He was born?
Yeah.
My goodness.
I always thought diesel was just a kind of petrol. I didn't know it was a kind of human inventor of an engine that needs... Anyway.
Well, I think it is a type of petrol. It's just named after that guy.
Yeah, but...
Rudolf Diesel.
I thought it... Cool. Hey, does that mean... Is there a guy called Gary Petroleum?
Yeah, from Denver, Colorado, also born in 1858.
Great, okay. Well, that makes sense. Now it all connects up in my mind. So anyway, the man who invented the game is seen as the godfather of Australian rules football, and a man named Tom Wills, right? He was an Australian-born man. This is before Victoria existed as well.
So the state of Victoria.
The state of Victoria,
sure.
So Tom Wills, he was born into a wealthy family of convict descent, and he was a really talented cricketer. At age of 14, he went over to England to study and play cricket. He tore it up over there. Was seen as one of the best cricketers in England. And he studied at the rugby school, which apparently is where rugby was invented. Makes sense.
But he was playing cricket.
But he was playing cricket
at the rugby school.
Yeah, well, the rugby didn't really exist yet. They So back in this time, there was no standardized code of football anywhere in the world. So there were all these, every school sort of had these loose rules, and they're all kind of similar, but they sort of, you know, started to morph in different directions. And the rugby one ended up being what became rugby union and rugby league.
So this school was like, hey, everyone, just jump on each other.
Yeah, we got it. But so he came back to Australia a few years later in 1856. So obviously that was going a few years before, where he captained the Victorian cricket team, the Melbourne Cricket Club. And then in 1856, he had the idea to start a football league for Victorian cricketers to stay fit through the winter.
Oh, right, because cricket's a summer,
yeah. Summer sport. Summer, yeah. Sport. So because there were no set of rules, he drew up a set of rules in 1958 based on these different... Sorry, 1858. I have a real trouble with only being able to remember one century of numbers. Okay. 18. Actually, I've written 1958. That's probably why.
So he's written up his own rules.
So with a committee of four, he wrote up his own rules based on a range of different codes that he saw in his time in England.
Right on.
And then later that year in 1858, he founded the Melbourne Football Club, which is the Demons.
So they are the oldest club.
They're the oldest club in Australian rules football, but they're actually one of the oldest football clubs of any kind in the world.
Hold on. Wow. I've got to pull you up here. They're the oldest club of all, and they could have picked any mascot, so everything's up for grabs. You could have anything you like.
Was dibs. Yeah.
There's tigers, there's lions, there's every single bird, there's snakes, dinosaurs, UFOs, absolutely anything you like.
Yeah.
Except for things that haven't been invented yet, like cars and stuff. Bombers, and they probably went with, oh, yeah, Melbourne Demons, in a very sceptical time.
They were not called the Demons until much, much later. In the past, they were called the Redlegs, based on their red socks.
Oh, great. That's an even better mascot. I wonder why they changed that name.
Which I don't mind. The Redlegs. But they were initially known as the Fuchsias.
Oh.
Fuchsias,
yeah.
The Melbourne Fuchsias.
Oh.
Well, that sounds tough, doesn't it?
It's kind of pretty.
It's a very pretty
name. Sounds more like a netball team.
So, yeah, it's quite a... So, when you... In that context...
It's a little sexist of me, isn't it?
That's fine.
Fuchsias, red legs, maybe Demons isn't so bad.
That's... Oh, suddenly it's sounding a lot better.
Yeah.
I could have gone with...
Anything else.
Because traditionally, football teams go for a tough mascot.
Tough, yeah.
Or like an animal.
Something native to the state. Yeah. It's weird that there's no Melbourne kangaroo or wombat... a wombat in the league or anything.
There is a kangaroo.
Damn it.
Sorry, Dave.
I always thought magpies isn't particularly intimidating. Like, yeah, they swoop at you, but they, you know, that's not a scary animal.
So they got that name because there was a big magpie population around their home ground at the time, apparently. And they were already, I think, already wearing black and white, so it sort of...
Kind of made sense.
Yeah, that's what I believe, you know, sure.
And now I also believe, because you told me that I believe everything you say.
So, yeah, so you said one of the oldest teams, they're obviously the oldest Aussie rules team, but they're also one of the oldest football teams of any code in the world. I think they're something like the 12th oldest. The oldest being Guy's Hospital, a rugby union team.
Are they from that rugby school?
No, they're from Guy's Hospital.
Where's that?
It's in a hospital in England. And they've now merged with the Kings and St. Thomas Rugby Football Club. So they're now called the Guy's Hospital. Kings and St. Thomas Rugby Football Club.
That's a bit much.
No wonder we've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
The other ones are kind of boring. There's some soccer teams as well, but mainly the oldest ones are all rugby union teams. Yeah, anyway, that's an interesting point.
Maybe there you go.
Geelong Football Club was formed the year after the Cats.
Oh, okay, right. So
who were originally called the Pivotonians.
What?
The Geelong Pivotonians.
So it was the Red Legs versus the Pivotonians.
And
the Fuchsias.
The Fuchsias versus Pivotonians, and every week they'd just play each other. I mean, the first week it's great because Melbourne have got both the grand final championship and the wooden spoon at the same time.
Well, interestingly, the rules were still super loose. At this stage, you didn't kick goals. You still ran goals over the line.
Right on.
There was no limit to the amount of players you could have on a team.
No limit. So you could get 50 mates down.
Exactly. And I don't think there was a limit to the time a game would go. It was just, I think it was first to two goals.
So it could go for a long time.
Yeah, especially if you've got 100 people in front of the goal just blocking you. And at the time, obviously, people from overseas always laugh at the AFL Red Sharon, the way that it shaped the football.
Yeah.
Was it shaped that way from the beginning?
Yeah, so it started off as a pig's bladder. I think that's what it was. So, yeah, it was just a blown-up bladder.
Nice.
So that I think that's gross. Partially why it came in that weird shape.
It's probably why their socks were so red. They were kicking around live animals.
That's not something I read recently. That's something that's going from the back of my head, so that might be right.
I trust you.
I want that stricken from the record.
It's there. Stuck in my head.
In the following years, in the 60s, the Carlton Football Club was formed. The North Melbourne Football Club was formed.
Who are the Kangaroos? Damn it, I'm so embarrassed that I've... So there was no kangaroos.
In the 70s, the Essendon, St Kilda and South Melbourne football clubs were formed. And at that in the 1870s, also team uniforms were introduced.
Oh, so before that?
Before that, each team wore a coloured hat.
And coloured socks.
They used to wear long leather boots and like a tied-up canvas. Like, they pretty much wore formal attire. And a hat of it.
I say good day.
Yeah. Well, there's like 300 people on each team. Yeah. So most of them are just hanging out just
throwing,
at the bar.
And they're throwing a bladder to someone with the same coloured hat as they have.
And there wasn't a boundary, so stadiums weren't enclosed. So the crowds would often just sort of be a little bit on the field as well. It'd be a very confusing game to watch.
But as if it's not confusing enough now if you haven't seen it before.
Yeah. So one thing that really set it apart from all the other footy codes was there's no offside rule. So soccer and rugby and that sort of thing, players can't be in front of the ball, you know. So Australian rules, you can have players at either end of the ground at any time. I mean, I think that was probably just because there were so many people,
so
you
many
couldn't
players.
All fit behind the ball.
Yeah, no. Maybe. And at this time, so you're running it across the line, but are still people trying to kick it around?
At that stage, I think you could run only as far as you needed to kick it. It wasn't until later that they brought in running and the bouncing rule. So we'll keep pushing on. This is the VFA, which is now called the VFL. It's quite confusing. But the VFA was formed in 1877 when Albert Park, Carlton, East Melbourne, Essendon, Geelong, Hotham, Melbourne and St Kilda football clubs met and grouped together. A week earlier than that, the South Australian Football Association was formed. So the South Australian League is
the actual oldest proper league.
Yeah, older than the Victorian
League. No wonder we started with Adelaide at the top of the show. Yeah. It's obviously a very important thing.
Yeah, totally designed that way.
God, he's good.
So that was the big league. That is now known as the VFL, confusingly, because 19 years after the VFA was formed, in 1896, the VFL was established, which is now called the AFL.
Right, so that was the Victorian Football League.
That's right, and that was when the six strongest clubs in the VFA basically broke away. And that was Collingwood, Essendon, Fitzroy, Geelong, Melbourne and South Melbourne. And they also brought along a couple of shittier teams, St Kilda and Carlton.
Right.
St Kilda, apparently, I was being told recently, we were kind of lucky to get in. It was meant to be Port Melbourne, who's still in the VFL, think it should have been them, and they're still bitter about it, like 115 years later or whatever it is.
They're still bitter, even though there's been generations of players that have opportunities to go to the best sides.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. But so that year, Essendon won the first premiership, and there wasn't a final series. So
was it just who's got the most points
at
the
end? It was just whoever's on top at the end of the season. But from then on, basically, apart from a couple of years, it was finals decided the premier. Look, I'm giving a lot of dull information.
No, it's totally fine.
Do you want to make
just
a joke, Jess?
Sports.
Yeah.
Sports.
Got
what
him.
About? Was there? So, to start with, was there about eight teams?
Yeah, eight teams initially. Yep.
Wow. So,
and now we're up to. Do you know how many we're up to now?
18.
18. Yeah.
But I belong to where I host my pub trivia, where a lot of this interest in facts come from, at the Royston pub in Richmond. They have a footy tipping competition every year. If you pick nine right, so there's nine games in an average round, and if you select nine out of nine and get it right, then you'll get a free meal on the pub that week.
Oh,
that's a good deal.
But if
Sweet
it was if there was
there,
only
Dave.
eight, no, but I'm saying if there was only eight teams, So that's only four games that I have to get. I'd be getting a free meal every week.
Yeah.
Especially if some of them, especially if some of the teams suck and you said Carlton, St Kilda has been brought along.
St Kilda sucked real bad early on.
Oh, man. Imagine that. I would get a free Palmer every week.
All you need to do is time travel.
Time travel back to a time before the pub even existed.
Yeah. And before Palmer's existed.
Before anything existed, all that existed was people running around in long leather boots.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
What a time to be alive.
I imagine it would have been a great time. Just and just so, such an, like, people, what I love about it, so Essendon, you know how they've won the most premierships? That one in 1897 counts in the 16 premierships that they brag about. It's just like, it's so funny that it's like a matter of pride that, like, people who, the game barely resembled anything like what they play now.
It's not even the same game.
We're the best. See, we've won all the premierships. A lot of them were before your grandparents were born. But anyway. So in the 1880s, this is during the VFA days, they restricted the numbers from unlimited down to down to 20 per team.
20 per team. So the coach, I imagine that week, the coach just called all 300 people in it and said, the following people are cut. And it took 3 hours to read out all the names. So it just whittles down until there's 20 people sitting there going, yes, I made the squad.
And then once they finally get to that, they're like, oh, I should have just read out the ones who did get in.
Yeah, that would have been a lot.
Statistically, this would have made sense.
Anyway, that was satisfying. I like letting people down.
And there's also people that still claim, yep, my granddad, my great-great-granddad used to play for Essendon. Back when there was 700 people playing a week. Got football in my blood.
And then in 1899, the VFL, so a couple of seasons in, they reduced it to the current 18 players per side on the field.
So even two more got cut.
Brutal.
Yeah.
You've survived. You've beaten 600 of your mates, but you're not good enough to beat...
But that's it. If you're one of 600 that gets cut, you'd be like, nah, it's all right. 600 of us got cut. If there's like 20 and only two of you are going,
you've just played two seasons with all of them, and they're like, nah, mate, you're not in the top 20.
Yeah, and you're looking at like...
They've changed the rules just to get you out.
Yeah, that's right. Right, this Matt Stewart bloke, he is bloody awful.
Nah, but we said he's in the 20.
How are we going to get rid of him? Let's just change the rules. Get 18 in.
Here's an interesting fact and a record that still stands. In 1899, the Saints scored what remains the lowest score in the league's history. 1 point.
Wow.
1 point for the whole game.
And that was against the Geelong Pivotonians, who scored 162.
Oh, brutal. You know what? I'd like to imagine that 1 point was an accident as well.
Geelong, like, went, whoops.
Yeah, and they tapped it.
We're going the other way.
Yeah,
right.
It just still wasn't even a goal.
162-1. Is that
Saints sucked real bad.
Is that still a matter of pride for you guys?
We do have a lot of records, the Saints.
And they're all about being the worst at everything.
Yeah. Yep. So the competition's been going, what's your maths like?
That's 116 years.
And, or even a little bit longer than that, I think.
Since 1899.
1897.
Oh, but I thought you meant the VFL.
Yeah, the VFL's 1897. Please, if you're not going to pay attention.
118
years. And the Saints have won one premiership in that time.
When was that?
1966.
1966.
By 1 point.
You've won one out of 118.
Yeah.
If they win one in your lifetime, is that going to be a very emotional day?
Yes, it will be.
More so than the day your son was born?
Do you think?
Yes. 100%.
Is your uncle going to sit down your son one day and convince him to barrack for St Kilda?
No, he's already been allocated the Saints. So
allocated.
Yeah, we had cut a deal. Emma, my partner, mother of my child.
Yeah.
She's a Bulldogs lady, but
she
could not give a shit about football. So.
Great.
Well, her and I have got a lot in common.
Yeah.
I could not. Isn't that? I'm barrack for the Bulldogs. I could not name you one player this year.
I don't think I could either.
We used to have Cooney, who won the Brownlow.
Yeah, he's gone.
But he's gone.
Who would be the Bulldogs player that people would know?
Who's the best
Bonts.
One?
Bontempelli.
Is that a name?
He should be your main man.
Is his first name Bonten?
No.
I was going to say,
Marcus Bontempelli.
Oh.
Is that a double barrel surname? Or?
No, it's just a single barrel. Just the one barrel.
Bontempelli is one word.
Yeah, it's a great name, I reckon. And they call him Bonts.
Bonts. I like that.
Yeah.
Me and Bonts.
But
yep.
He's a gun. He'll be like, you'll definitely have heard of him over the next few years if you haven't already, which you haven't because you just told me so.
I know none.
Well, let's keep moving because we've got over 100 years to cover still.
well, to be fair, we've just covered 50. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I do
skip over a big chunk soon. In 1908, the VFL bring in a couple of new teams, the Richmond Football Club and the University Blues Football Club.
Not to be confused with a Puberty Blues.
Yes.
Yeah. The Richmond Football Club, you would know, are still going strong.
They were the Tigers
University
that I talked
Blues,
to you
I don't know. Do you have any knowledge of them?
University Blues? No, I just know it's the Carlton Blues now.
Yeah, so the University Blues were a team made up of Melbourne University students.
Mainly depressed.
They were nicknamed...
Not having a good time.
They might not... Actually, I say University Blues. I think that's what they're now known as in the VAFA. I'm just writing out things from memory. That might be wrong. They were called the University Football Club, and their nickname was the Students.
Oh.
Go the Students.
Oh, that's lame.
That is really lame,
so
isn't it?
So lame.
Ugh. They weren't too successful.
I'm not surprised because everyone else is like men, and they're just like
they
know, 19 years old.
They're boys.
Everyone's under 22 because after that you finish uni and you're out.
They never finished higher than sixth on the ladder in a 10-team comp.
I was going to say, these days that's pretty good, but out of 10 it's not so good.
They weren't too successful, and one of the main reasons for that was that the players were more focused on their education, especially around exam time.
How dare them? My goodness, to play a game, and I imagine at this time it's not a professional game where you're being paid to play. So,
yeah,
come on, students.
This is a stupid game that someone's invented not that long ago.
Yeah.
I would have played for my uni, and I would have done a half-assed job and also not done my uni work. I had no excuse.
Yeah.
I was doing nothing of everything.
but they only lasted in the competition until 1914, losing their final 51 matches.
That's
a cold
This is
streak.
Terrible, but did they lose because all of them had to go off to fight the First World War?
No, that's not... They were just really studying hard.
All right, I just thought that they look around the uni and went, oh, we've just drafted them all.
Oh.
But that was an issue. That's an issue that we're about to come to. So that left it to just 9 teams. Here's the thing that I want to point out, only because I'm a bit of Saints supporter. There was final series, a system called the Argus system for many of the early, about the first 30 years or something like that, different version of the Argus system, which meant that... the team who finished on top of the ladder at the end of the normal home and away season, they got the chance to challenge the team who won the grand final. So the Saints won the grand final in 1913, but Fitzroy finished on top, so they got to challenge the Saints to a second grand final, and the Saints lost that second grand final. So,
what?
Yeah.
And this happened for 30 years, so...
Yeah, so...
I imagine every year they would challenge because you got nothing to lose unless you are the top team and you win the championship.
Yeah, exactly. They definitely did. So it was basically just giving the top team a double chance. But if that happened now, the Saints, under the current system, the Saints would have had 2 bloody premierships.
That sounds like one of those lame things that a game show does to try
Okay, Maddie.
I can't believe you said that. Don't you reckon it sounds like one of those lame things that a game show does to try and spice things up a bit?
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, no one's watching the show anymore, so now you've won all the money, but you can risk it.
Yeah.
And play our old champion.
Yeah.
That's lame.
Anyway, I just wanted to just touch on that.
I know.
I'm probably over it. I didn't know about it, to be honest. It's like, oh, what?
It outraged you, though.
Did you know about
I
it before reading?
I could see
reading,
the anger in your eyes.
Before reading this, researching this?
No, I wasn't aware of that at all. I don't think that's a super well-known fact.
Well, let's get it out there. Come on, guys. Hit the streets. Get your sandwich banners made.
Okay, so in 1916, due to the First World War, Essendon, St Kilda, Melbourne, Geelong and South Melbourne all dropped out of the competition to allow their players to fight in the war, leaving only the unpatriotic
cowardly
teams of Collingwood, Carlton, Richmond and Fitzroy to play out the system.
Oh, they were like...
season.
They were like, guys, no, we'll tell them we're going. We'll tell them. And then they all go, they're like, oh, there's only 3 teams left, top 3.
We did it.
Like at that time, you know, it was seen as being totally was
it
being seen
was
like
cowardly.
Fit footballers not going over to war was seen as
a people,
real
all in their 20s, yeah.
And it was a real divisive issue. And there were people were sort of campaigning to make returned soldiers have stars next to their name in the guide
oh, so
or the
that
record,
you wouldn't, so that
you'd be
judge
like.
Them.
You wouldn't boo those ones.
Which so you could be like, basically going, the guys without the stars, I reckon. Is
yeah,
like,
you're going, oh, that's centre.
Coward.
He hasn't fought anyone.
But so because it was a four, only four teams left, and it was the final four, there was a bit of a quirk that Fitzroy won the wooden spoon and still got to play finals.
Oh!
And not only that, they won the premiership.
Oh.
So they were the bottom team for the league, and then they won the premiership.
They won both the wooden spoon and the premiership in the same season.
Wow. And they lost the community's respect.
Yeah.
Poor old guys. I'd make that exact same choice knowing what the First World War was like.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, no, thank you. Any excuse. I can't have any excuse.
I'm entertaining the people, right? Keeping the spirits high.
Yeah. Yeah, the Elvis Presley of 1916.
I'd take the white feather. Did you learn about that at school? The white feathers?
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yeah, so if you saw a young, fit guy down the street, there was a team of women who
young, attractive
and
girls.
They'd leave them in their letterboxes and stuff. Yeah, yeah,
give you a white feather to try and embarrass you into serving in the army.
Yeah.
Ugh. Bitches be cray.
Well, the joke's on them because I'd made my white feathers into a beautiful hat. Wearing it with pride.
Quietly in my own lounge room with the curtains closed.
Also, 1916, that would have been the only time I imagined that I could have made the football team because there's no one else around. I'd be like, no, Essendon's still going. I'm the captain.
Yeah. All right, guys, I'm the captain now. Grandpa, can I play, please?
Come on. Let's have a go.
Oh, I can't.
It's me versus the whole team. Still score more points than St Kilda in that time.
No, it's true.
It's true.
The Saints, it took the Saints, I think it was like four or five seasons to win their first game. It was brutal.
Pardon?
It was, yeah, real bad.
And there's all these other teams that are getting fired for being terrible, but they still keep scraping through.
Well, we started winning when the university came in. I think we were now the second worst team.
Okay.
You could beat the children.
That's right. Let's beat those amateurs.
Let's skip past the war. I think we've had enough.
Okay,
of that.
Yeah, enough war chat.
Those teams started coming back into the league. So all those teams that dropped out came back in.
I don't want to disappoint you, Matt, but after this war, it seems like it's going to be okay, but then there's another big war coming up.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, Matt.
That sucks. All right. Well, anyway.
Anyway, so we're after the First World War.
It'll be a friendlier war though, right?
Oh dear.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God. So a few years later, the 1925 season, the VFL were keen to bring in a 10th team to sort of level the numbers up against.
Because everyone's, I suppose, people are having a bye every week. Yeah. And this is the roaring 20s after all.
And this is something I only learnt yesterday, that they were strongly considering a public service football club. to be the 10th team in the league.
What is that?
Made up only of federal and state public servants.
Imagine they did that now.
It would be so, so good.
So good.
Oh, my goodness. Joe Hockey's out there giving a pep talk. Guys, if you win this, we'll win the respect, and I can put an even more corrupt budget through.
Yeah, obviously that didn't quite happen in the end, and instead it was quite a big drawn-out thing with the VFA, but they eventually brought in three teams from the VFA. And they were your boys,
so the VFA was still going on.
VFA
like
was going, yeah, underneath. They were like the more of an amateur league, and the league were getting paid a little.
Sure. Were they a bit annoyed that the politicians were considered before them, even though they're actually playing the game?
Yeah, well, Footscray, apparently, they were the dominant team in the VFA at that time.
So big fish, little pond.
Yeah. And then they of the three teams that came across, they ended up boosting the league up to 12 teams. They brought in Footscray,
yep,
who were the Western Bulldogs now, Hawthorn, who were like the dominant team of today, and North Melbourne Kangaroos. And Hawthorn and North Melbourne took ages to get any real wins on the board, but the Bulldogs did pretty well almost straight away.
Well,
it's
I'll take credit for that.
Yeah, that's been flipped on its head long term, but because the Bulldogs with the Saints have both only won the one premiership.
When was that for the Bulldogs?
1954. Yeah.
What a great year that
great
was.
Year.
Great year. Oh, great year.
Good memories.
I like this little factoid. In 1927, the South Australian Football League renamed itself the South Australian National Football League. And as far as I'm aware, there weren't then and there never have been any teams from outside South Australia in the South Australian National Football League.
Big city dreams.
Probably more of an aspirational name, I guess. Right. But
the South Australian International Intergalactic Football League.
It is kind of similar to like Miss Universe or something, the World Series in baseball. It's like, you mean only for these few American teams.
That's right.
In 1930, Collingwood, your boys, became the first and only team still to this day to win four straight premierships.
Oh.
So that was the 30s.
Yeah. So again, they're a team who's won like the third most amount of premierships, and like a lot of them were done early on.
Yeah, very early.
In 1934, Bob Pratt kicked 150 goals in the season. He was a South Melbourne player.
Is that a record?
That's still the record. It was matched much later by a guy called Peter Hudson, but he did it in 10 more games. He did it including all the finals and a longer season.
Right. So 150 goals.
So Bob Pratt, I think he did it in I should know the fact there, but he did it in very few games. It was like something that will never be repeated. Ever again.
And he's not on an Australian banknote. What a travesty.
The leading goal kicker this year in 2015 was a guy who kicked 75 goals. And that was in more games.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So
and who was that? Do you know who the 75 was?
His name's Josh Kennedy for the Eagles, I think.
75.
Yeah. Pretty good, but,
not bad.
You know, pretty good, I guess. Hang on. There's another war broke out.
Oh, no.
What?
In 1942, Geelong doesn't compete due to World War II restrictions. They were the only team who dropped out then. And payments to players because of,
rationing
were limited to $3 per match.
$3 a match?
And what were they getting before that?
More than that.
I play basketball and I have to pay $3 to get into the stadium every week.
Yeah, that feels crazy.
Yeah, that's what they were getting paid. I spend more than that on coffee. Anyway.
$3.
$3.
But this is 1942, so I imagine that inflation, that is...
I wonder how much it would be by today's
standards. To be honest, in 1940s, they were probably getting paid in pounds still.
Yeah, I may have grabbed that. No, that fact was straight off the AFL's website, so...
Oh, it's probably adjusted to Australian dollars for the time.
The finals at that time were moved to Princes Park, just up the road from us here in Carlton, because the MCG was used by the Defence Forces.
They were
landing their jets on there or something.
Oh, wow.
Right.
That's probably not true, but they were using it for some
Jets.
You know, just
jets.
Camping out or whatever
nah,
you know,
army
dudes do. And the Jets. Gather Jets. In 1943, Geelong again did not participate. And the bottom team midway through the season, round 11, was knocked out of the... Just told to don't worry about it anymore. And that team...
I imagine don't bother... Was it St Kilda?
St Kilda,
yay!
Look, guys, don't worry about coming next week.
But if we could just grab you guys to maybe go... Make some bullets or something. That'd
yeah,
be
no,
great.
No. It's like, well, you know, you're not playing football. You could probably get over to the the Western Front. How about that?
Toodles.
There we go.
All right, yeah. Here's a gun. you know, but during the war, the you know the Saints' colours. Sorry, this is a bit Saint-centric.
Oh, that's fine. What's it? Black, white, and red.
Black, white, and red. Which
or red, white, and black.
During
what is that?
During the war was. I think this might have been the First World War, actually. It was the same colour as the German flag, the German colours. So they changed their colours to black, yellow and red to match the Belgian ally colours.
Aha, uh-huh, very good.
Funnily enough, like, Germany's colours are now black, yellow and red. So,
and I think they
copied the Saints, though.
I think so, absolutely.
I think that's what happened.
Big influence in Germany, the Saints.
Yeah. They're like, nah, if... Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, well, if you're going to change your colours, we'll just change them back, so we'll just copy you. Yeah, yeah. Right. That could have been true. Anyway, let's move on from the war. There's probably more wars, but the later wars seem to affect the football less for some reason.
Well, that's because those were the two biggest wars in history.
And when did they get rid of conscription as well?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, conscription was
in Vietnam, they had a lottery.
Did they?
That you did not want to win.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think my old man just missed it.
Yeah, they breed out birthdays.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So
yeah,
you breed
out
on TV or on the radio.
Some crazy.
And I've never met anybody else with my birthday, too. So that would just be... At least if I got called up, I could be like, ah, you too? Cool.
August.
I'm taking you with me.
23rd.
Oh, so close. 26th.
26th.
And Dave's 2 days later.
August the 28th, same year
yes.
and everything.
We're birthday buddies.
Send your presents to...
That's right.
Care of...
care of Matt Stewart.
So, well, we're going to have to... We'll get so successful, we'll have to set up a P.O. box for all the gifts we're going to be getting. That's right. Send in your old German flags.
Here's a couple more boring facts. 1970...
Oh, thanks for prefacing it with that.
1970 was a big year for boring facts. Waverley Park hosted its first match where Geelong defeated Fitzroy. Waverley Park, that was, they wanted, the VFL wanted to break their reliance on the MCG, so they decided in the 1950s to build their own super stadium, and they bought a big chunk of farmland in Waverley, near where, pretty close to you and
Very
Mount Waverley.
Close, yep.
And they
Not the road.
They originally planned a 155,000 seat stadium.
Sorry, what? that's like when a crazy dictator says, "I'm building the biggest stadium in the world."
Kim Jong Il.
Yeah,
was
Kim Jong Il stuff. That's right. One of the Kim Il Sung, his dad, to come on out.
And that so that was the original plan, and eventually it was built to be like 70 something thousand.
So what,
seat stadium.
What is that, a stadium for ants? Yeah. My God, 70,000. Does that still... they don't play games there anymore.
No, they don't. Yeah. That got sold and knocked down maybe 10, 20 years ago when they built the Docklands Stadium. And it's now... They've kept one stand and the football surface is still there. The Hawks train there.
Hawks train there. There's cafes there now.
But where all the rest of the stands were are all... It's all housing developments. So you could live in one of the shitty Waverley Park stands.
They don't actually just... It's not the facade of a stand that's been turned into...
It just
looks like an oval now.
Like looks like a stadium, but if you go inside, there's like little doors and windows.
Amazing.
And skylights.
I'm into that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Another boring fact from 1970. It was the first direct telecast of the Brownlow Medal count.
The Brownlow Medal being the best player of... Best and fairest player of the season.
Do you know who votes for it?
The umpires,
I think. The umpires. What a weird system. People who don't necessarily... They shouldn't be focusing on who's playing well.
Yeah,
that's true.
And to be honest, If I was the umpire, I'd probably be like, well, that guy called me an asshole, so yeah, he's probably won't give him the vote.
I know, why aren't they nicer to umpires then, if they're the ones that are...
Well, the ones who win tend to be.
Ah.
Yeah, but anyway.
It's all about that.
Anyway, I've said too much.
Oh, no. Matt's going to disappear tonight.
Oh! Your face, so serious.
I'm so scared.
Like, oh my God. What have I done?
With the umpire, it's all about that handshake at the end. Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
Good on you. Yep.
Yeah. Have a close look at that. The guys who were doing those, they're the ones wearing the medal at the end of the year.
That's right.
That was named after an administrator, Charles Brownlow, and it was inaugurated in the 1920s.
So the poor old Tom Wills that started the whole game. Is there anything named after him?
Yeah.
Nothing.
And
do you want me to tell you some more about Wills?
Yeah.
So he.
Old Willie.
He came back after, you know, he invented the game and stuff.
No, Biggie, just invented the biggest game in our country.
Yeah.
Was a dominant for Victorian cricket. And
That's right, he was also the best cricketer.
This is all pre-federation and pre-test cricket as well. So test matches did start and he was started to be seen as a bit of a has-been. He got called for throwing. He was a bowler. And
he was like, no, I do this with the pig's bladder all the time.
He really went out of fashion in the cricket world, and started getting a bit sad. While all that was happening, he went up north to Queensland for a little while with his dad, who was looking to start a new farm up north. And he
doesn't sound like it's good for Tom.
Oh, no, I was hoping he's going to have a big comeback, but
Is he? Oh, is it not good?
He's going to get
Tom?
Malaria or something.
He's going to kill himself.
No, he's in the biggest ever massacre of European settlers by Indigenous Australians. 18 men, including his father, were killed. Which I know this is probably bad, but I feel no sympathy. It's like. Yeah, I know it wouldn't be good for me, but anyway, you know, fair enough.
It's hard, but I don't know, but was he...
Well, he's coming and going, hey, we're going to take this land for our farm.
Yeah, it all depends whether if he was being asked or not.
Yeah, that's true. Apparently Tom himself was pretty friendly, but history is such a weird thing. Like, it's all been written by European settlers,
that's right.
So who knows.
And he was one of the dead.
No, Tom wasn't one of the dead. His dad was, and he obviously found that pretty traumatic. He struggled with that a lot, and then at the age of 45, he stabbed a pair of scissors through his heart and killed himself.
Whoa!
Okay, I shouldn't be happy, but Perkins picked suicide, so...
Did you pick what murder weapon?
I didn't pick, no.
Was that Tom Willis in
should've
the study?
Should have turned that into a little quiz there.
Yeah, that's right. Tom Willis in the study with the scissors.
Yeah.
Through the heart.
Yeah.
That is an amazing way to go.
Because if you don't do it... Well, hard enough.
It will really hurt.
Really hurt, and you live.
I just like to think that it was him trying to create a new game.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Famous for.
He also, invented Operation, the board game.
I was just trying to remove the heart without touching the ribs.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he got electrocuted touching the sides.
What a way to go.
Yeah, so that was pretty sad. And he was kind of forgotten about for a long time, and he's only really been... thought of and brought up of a high regard in the last 20 years. People started talking about him again. So that was the second dull fact from 1970 was the Brownlow medal count. And then the third one was the highest ever VFL AFL match attendance, 121,696 MCG at the grand final between Carlton and Collingwood.
Wow.
Which was the famous grand final that... Jezalenko took that big
Jezalenko!
Mark.
Jezalenko!
Oh, the mark of the century.
Yeah, that's the one. And it was the game where Carlton came back to win after being down by 40 points because Ron Barassi coached them and said, play on at all costs. And he brought on this kid, an unknown kid called, I think his name was Ted Hopkins, and he kicked 5 goals in the second half.
Far out.
And he hardly played ever again.
Did he just not want to ruin his record?
No, you wouldn't, would you?
Yeah, maybe. Like, just...
He just, like,
just
adrenaline kicked in and he just went nuts. And then he's like, I can't.
That's great. And did he... Because you win a medal if you kick the most goals in the grand final. Is that right? Or if you're the best player?
You do, you get the Norm Smith medal, which is named after a legendary Melbourne coach.
So you have to say, a legendary bird that may or may not have existed in the Himalayan mountains. Norm Smith. Cuckoo!
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Good old Norm. Love you, Norm.
Norm Smith. But yeah, there's a story about Norm Smith. There's like the Norm Smith curse. That's why Melbourne haven't won a premiership since they sacked Norm Smith.
Ooh.
And that scene has like been a curse.
Told you. Mystical. Yeah. Mystical Norm. You did not cross Norm yet.
They brought him back later, but yeah, it was never the same. And they've sucked ever since. And they're like, they're the St. Kilda of the modern era. Real battlers. They've been in the bottom six for the last... They haven't made the finals for 9 years or something.
Oh, dear. Norm's done them in.
So here's... Now I've got through those boring facts. Here's an exciting fact from 1975. Clubs were permitted to adopt coloured shorts for introduced colour television coverage.
Oh! Isn't it funny how TV changes everything?
Yeah.
So before that, was it white shorts only?
It was black shorts for the home team, white shorts for the away team.
That's a good fact.
Yeah. That's a great fact, actually. Is that a good fact? I think so. That's interesting.
Short-related facts.
Yeah, more of those, please.
Oh, God.
There's a similar... I don't know... I shouldn't even bring it up because I don't know the details and I'm hoping one of you does. But it was the same when they brought in, colour TV and the cricket. Didn't they make them wear, pastel colours?
Yeah, that was Kerry Packer started the World Series cricket.
To make it more exciting.
Yeah.
And they played at Waverley Park. That's where they first played, which is that 155, not quite, 1,000... seat stadium.
How many showed up to that first game? Not many at all.
No, not many. Not many. So they probably made the right decision in cutting that number down.
Wow.
Cool boy. You just said before the highest attendance ever is 120,000. So they're still.
Yeah, that's right. They were jammed. You would have at the MCG. That was because that's the MCG absolutely jam packed, and a lot of that was standing room.
I'm fairly sure that it's illegal to have that many now, isn't it?
Because there's 100,000 seats now. Less standing room, so you can't squeeze as many in. So you get up towards 100,000 as the max.
Very fat country that we live in.
Yeah, we
these
have got
days.
Fatter. We were leaner back in those days. McDonald's hadn't arrived.
That's right. Second World War, the rationing we were talking about before, it was hard. It was hard to get fat.
It was hard. Okay, and so at this stage, it's still the VFL, it's still only Victorian teams. So, I'm going to start talking about how it's morphed into the AFL. I haven't mentioned it much, but the team South Melbourne, who don't exist anymore.
Oh, no, you kept mentioning them, and I'm thinking, who are they?
They won three premierships in the first 50 years. So they're a moderately successful team.
Three times as successful as your team and my team.
Yeah, and much less time. But between 1945 and 1981. They only played finals twice, so they were. They were the real battlers in that mid-century period, and by the end of that time, they were in financial strife, which you sort of expect. And around the same time, the VFL were keen to start looking to broaden their horizons, go national.
Compete with the Adelaide, or the South Australian.
I wonder
National
if they
League.
Considered calling themselves the VFNL or something. So in 1982, against the will of a lot of South Melbourne supporters, they relocated all their home games to Sydney. Still called South Melbourne. The following year,
so they were still called South Melbourne in
for
Sydney
for 1 year. Yeah, and then the following year they were called the Swans.
Hmm.
And then the year after that, they became the Sydney
Swans. That's some great transitioning there, isn't it? I bet they were telling everyone, no, we'll always be South Melbourne. We'll always be South. We'll always be the Swans. Don't you worry. Sydney Swans.
So the board cut a deal moving them to Sydney. And then there was a coup and the South Melbourne for South Melbourne committee or whatever group got voted in and took over the club. But they weren't able to bring him back. Aww. It was just too hard. They were in so much financial strife that they weren't able to do it. I don't know if you, do you know Dr. Jeffrey Edelston?
Yes.
He, they battled early years in Sydney, and in 1985, Dr. Jeffrey Edelston bought the team outright, so he was a private owner of the club, which is pretty rare. Nearly always AFL teams are owned by the members. And he sort of started bringing a bit of razzle-dazzle to the club.
I bet he did.
Oh, including, he's a very famous,
razzle dazzle.
Very wealthy and very controversial sort of personal life kind of guy. Yep.
Yeah, he's currently on a series of Celebrity Apprentice, apparently. So, he's a pretty big deal.
Yep.
So he brought Warwick Kappa to the club.
Oh, one thing.
Who's long blonde locks and tight white shorts made him the biggest thing in the footy field in the 1980s. Do you remember him?
So, and before that, who was he playing for?
I think that was his first team, so they brought him in from, as a junior, I think.
And was it Edelston sort of...
splashing some cash.
But was it his plan to be like, all right, we want you to be a blonde guy with short...
I reckon that was part of it. So he used to drive a pink Lamborghini to the games and stuff. So they became like the real rock and roll... No, Kappa. Oh.
Warwick Kappa had a pink Lamborghini.
Yeah. Edelston flew a helicopter to the games.
Oh, pardon. Of course. Sorry.
Of course he did.
Sorry.
I just remember my uncle played for them when they were still South Melbourne.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't have no further information about it. Just
what
that
was
he
his
played
name?
Russell Cook.
Russell Cook. I'm looking him up.
Yeah.
He never sat you down and gave you the talk and said, look, you've got to go for the South Melbourne.
No, he didn't. He just let me be. Oh,
good uncle.
That is a good uncle.
Yeah.
No offense, Matt.
So that was the Swans. They hit a lot of trouble again soon after that. They did pretty well in those years, but like the money didn't last. And
oh, was it not managed well?
The pink Lambo didn't last.
Yeah,
well.
He bought all his players pink Lamborghinis and thought, why is the club broke?
He also brought a player called Greg Diesel Williams to the club.
Oh, that's led to the inventor of the diesel engine.
I just saw that. He was a two-time Brownlow medalist, but yeah, also related to the inventor of the diesel engine, which is not true. I don't know why they called him Diesel. I think he was just an in and under sort of no frills kind of player. I guess that was why. Just kept going. Is that a thing that diesel engines do? Anyway.
Let's say yes.
Yes.
So that was the first team. So now the VFL could start thinking, oh, we are...
So it's still called the VFL.
Still called the VFL Sydney. in mid-1980s. In 1987, the Queensland Football League and the Western Australian Football League, the WAFL, both bought licences to bring teams into the VFL as well. So the Brisbane Bears Football Club and the West Coast Eagles Football Club came into the comp in 1987, still called the VFL.
But Adelaide is holding out.
Adelaide, yeah, I guess so. Because their league was still quite strong, but the VFL got stronger and stronger, got more flushed with cash, and they started buying players from other states. So the VFL was starting to become the strongest comp in the league because they were buying the best players. A lot of that, Carlton pretty much bought a premiership in the mid-80s by buying a lot of the best players from Adelaide, including Stephen Stixkernahan and John Dorotich and a few others. But anyway, that's boring football stuff.
I'm sure a lot of people love football, just Jess and I are thinking, who are they?
I can't believe you don't know Stephen Stixkernahan. Have you never seen the clip of a guy singing Stand By Your Man into a premiership cup?
No.
Well, you got to YouTube that later. Okay. That's Stephen Stixkernahan.
Very good.
So still called the VFL right through the 80s. In 1990, the VFL was finally renamed the AFL. Now you could start to probably realistically call it a national competition. You had a team on the West Coast. You had a team up north in Queensland. You had a team in New South Wales and Sydney. So, and obviously still the plenty of teams in Victoria. And then over the following years, in 1991, the Adelaide Football Club came into the comp. That was,
finally, they were like, all right,
that was the,
you win.
South Australia.
Your league is much more national than we are.
Initially, it was Port Adelaide Football Club, probably the strongest ever football club in Australia, bid for a license, but the sort of amalgam Adelaide Crows football, a brand new club made up of all of South Australia football league.
Oh, so Port Adelaide didn't get a go.
No, even though they've won something like 40 or 50 premierships in the SANFL. They're like just a super dominant team, way more than any VFL team's ever done. So the Adelaide Crows came in 95. The Fremantle Dockers were brought in, so the second WA team. In 1997, Fitzroy, who were one of the original VFL clubs from back in 1897, they merged with the Brisbane Bears because they were just battling. Both of them were battling, really, and became the Brisbane Lions.
Right on.
Who only a few years later won three premierships back-to-back. So that worked out pretty well for them.
So really, they came good.
Yeah, they did came real good. Then Port Adelaide came in 1997 as well. But they were the Port Adelaide Magpies because Collingwood already had that. That's why they had to choose a different thing.
And they went with Power.
Yeah.
Port Power.
Come on, guys. There's still more animals that we haven't used.
I'm going to tell you that there are 450,000 species of beetles in the world. You know beetles? That's how many different types of beetle there are.
Do you reckon beetles, though, is a good...
It's better than just power. A word.
Power.
Power, like I'd call that a pretty powerful word.
Have you seen Beatles? They're pretty powerful. The most best-selling band of all time, named after Beatles.
And also, pound for pound, the rhinoceros beetle, or whatever it's called, the one that looks like a rhino, is like one of the strongest animals in the world.
That's right. A lot more powerful than power itself.
Mm. That should be the catchphrase. For that beetle.
Oh, the Port Beetles.
But do you know how many premierships the Power have won?
Port, let's have a guess. Five?
Yeah.
Well, they've been in the comp since 1997. So they've been around for less than 20 years.
Four.
No, geez, all right. They've won the same amount as St Kilda and the Bulldogs. They've won just the one. But they've won it one in 18 years.
Rather than, yeah.
One in 118 years.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So we're getting pretty close now to what the league looks like now. In 97, also the Footscray renamed themselves as the Western Bulldogs.
What was the reason of that?
The reason was to go where the team for all of the western suburbs of Melbourne.
All right, not just Footscray.
Not just Footscray. So they were trying to just broaden their reach to a whole, you know, segment of Melbourne, is probably smart.
I think that. Your St Kilda should just rename themselves the
Southern Saints.
Australia. Australia's team.
That's
and everyone
bad.
Suddenly they're everyone's team.
And then people will get finally
they
behind
could be
them.
The Australian Saints, the Mary MacKillops.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
The Mary MacKillops. We've got an officially canonised saint now.
Very good.
There's a little fact for you, Jessica. Oh,
that's a good one.
Pecco.
Maybe just the MacKillops.
The MacKillops.
Then we'd call them the Mackers.
Or the Killers.
Oh, yes.
The Killers.
Because I'm just thinking the Mary MacKillops isn't a very intimidating name.
The Marys. Come on, Mary.
Come on, Mary.
The Bloody Marys.
Oh,
that's good.
That's good.
I'm coming up. I'm going to take questions in a moment. but just the final couple of teams. You know the last two teams that have been admitted in the league in the last 5 years?
The Gold Coast Suns.
Gold Coast Suns.
And GWS.
Yep.
Greater Western Sydney. Now what are they, Giants?
The Giants, yeah. So you've got...
Come on!
Well played, sir. You got two teams in New
South
Wales.
No, I'm saying come on, get a better name.
That is a lame
Giants
name.
Giants isn't bad.
Just go with... What about something cool, like an actual thing? Like the Minotaurs or something cool.
Did you say
an actual thing? Like a Minotaur?
No, like an actual
Dave,
giant thing
to have
that
a
people
talk?
Can relate. Because it's Giants, you're like, oh, whatever. But Minotaur. Colossal. Yeah.
The GWS Minotaur. I don't mind it. But I think the teams seem to love alliteration.
Yeah.
GWS Giants.
Okay. Greater Western.
Obviously not.
Greater Western.
Port Power
Sydney.
Is. Well, there's not a lot of them actually. Right. Now that you
Galahs.
Galahs. What a great Australian animal.
Yeah.
Galahs.
I don't mind the galahs.
Or the Greater Western Sydney grapes.
Giraffes.
One of my favourite fruits.
Good fruit. Real good fruit.
Jeff, like my uncle.
Do you want to go through some mascots?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you know what the Crows were. The Lions used to be the Brisbane Bears. Fitzroy, before they were the Lions, they were the Maroons or the Gorillas.
Gorillas is
That's
good.
Not bad, right?
That is really good.
Gorillas is good.
The Carlton Blues were once known as the Butchers.
Oh.
Perfect. Love it.
I think because their strip looked like a butcher.
Gonna... Makes them sound like they could go on a killing spree.
Yeah, I'm going to butcher you.
Yeah.
The Butcher. It's a great serial killer.
That's great.
The Bombers used to be called the Same Olds.
The Same
Olds.
Oh,
I love that.
That's such a... I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either, but I like
it. What does that mean? And then they were...
The Same Olds.
Same Olds.
Bombers.
They were Bombers because the Essendon was near the Essendon airport. And during the war, I think that was... They had, like, the fighter jets parked out there.
Bombing.
The Hawthorne Hawks. They were originally the Maybloom's.
May Blooms. Again, not very scary.
No, Hawks is, but that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hawthorn Hawks, that's another clear alliteration. Yeah. Melbourne Demons, obviously, we said before, Red Legs and Fuchsias. do you know what, this is a more famous one, do you know what the Kangaroos are, used to be known as, and are still sort of known
North
as a bit?
North Melbourne, oh, I thought that, no, Blues. No.
The Shinboners.
Shinboners?
Hold on, not just Shinbone, but Shinboners.
Yeah, Shinboners. I never really thought of it like that.
Me either.
You're familiar with that term? That was kind of a famous one, I think.
What? And that was what term? No, I'm not familiar with a Shinboner.
Have you heard of a guy called Glenn Archer? He was named the Shinboner of the Century.
That's the best fetish I've ever heard. Shinboner. What does that mean?
You're giving me a Shinboner. It's so funny that I'd never connected.
Me either.
The boner out of that.
And I was like, yeah, that's pretty funny. I don't know why Dave's laughing about her.
But what is it to be a shin boner? What does that mean?
Well, apparently the theory is that a lot of the players back in the day worked in abattoirs and they used to pull the meat from the shin bones, and that's where it came from.
Oh, that instantly comes to mind, not shin boner. What were you guys thinking? My goodness.
Yeah, we're the problem here.
Bring back the shin boners.
Yeah.
I was thinking abattoirs and separating meat from shin bones.
Oh, that thing that we all do.
The Tigers, as far as I know, they were always called the Tigers. And the story I read was because a fan of theirs used to sit in a tree outside of the MCG or outside of Punt Road and yelling, "Go the Tigers," from a tree, and that was where the name came from.
He didn't like AFL, he just had something wrong with him. Yeah.
Go the Tigers. Not you, I'm talking to Tigers I can see over here.
What they don't know is that even when they went training, he was in that tree yelling, and the neighbours hated him.
St Kilda were once known as the Seagulls for a little while, because they were, you know, beachside team, sort of made a bit of sense. But Saints probably make some sense as well, St Kilda.
I suppose they could be the MacKillops.
The Swans used to be known as the Bloods or the Bloodstained Angels.
Bloodstained? That's like a terrifying bikey gang.
Yeah.
Eagles were obviously pretty new. They've always been known as the Eagles. What about the Bulldogs? Do you know what any of your other nicknames?
Footscray. Are they animals?
No, I don't. It's hard to really know what these things are.
Oh, please
tell me. So there's Shinboners?
Shinboners.
One of them is just describing the fact they've got three colours, I think. They were called the Tricolours.
Oh, lame. Wow.
Yeah, that's bad, isn't it? The Imperials, which I wonder, is that because they got the colours of the Union Jack, maybe?
Oh.
And the Scraggers.
Oh, good, perfect, yeah. Scragger. The Scraggers versus the Shinboners. Who will win?
Shinboners, always.
Shinboners. But if you scrag onto a shinbone, it's pretty good. Pretty good result.
That is a good. Yeah, that is a good point. So yeah, there's so much shit I could talk about. I don't know if there's anyone else you want to talk about. I mean, there's the international players coming in. Like, there's been Irish players.
Yeah, a few Irish. Yeah.
Now Americans are starting to have a crack.
And how are they getting drafted? How are they even hearing about?
They scout them. There's AFL are trying to expand internationally as well. So they have an international cup, which is played against, like, teams like Ireland and Japan. And
Does Great Australia Britain, just so. Destroy? Or do they
no,
not play?
No, Australia doesn't play in it. So they're all amateur teams, pretty low-quality games. But, you know, it's just something they're trying to
do. Are you trying to
up.
Tell me that I could represent Japan internationally in Australian football?
I think you could. The one problem I can see with that is that you're not Japanese.
Well, I would just have to learn like about 10 phrases. Kick it to me. Good one. And
more money, goal! Please.
Why am I not being... Oh, 100,000 yen. This is... Oh, that's not very much at all.
Yeah, you need to get good at your conversion.
Yeah, I'll have a calculator.
Yeah.
At all times.
Ooh.
I think that's fair. Yeah, and then there's like things like... you know, the different records and stuff, and it's all kind of boring stuff. Essendon has won the most premierships, Essendon and Carlton, both with 16. But like I said, most of them were
pretty
so long ago. In the modern era, Hawthorn, I would say, is definitely the
most
top
dominant
team.
Well, that's why I moved to Hawthorn, to be a winner.
Yeah.
To be a winner.
To be near the winners.
To be near the winners.
And actually, I'm closer to the winners because I live near where they train. So
yeah, I don't know why don't they train near where I live?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so do you have anything for me? Anything you want to
I knew none of that.
No, I knew nothing.
Isn't that weird? It's our national game. One, I'm not that into it. And two, that I have no idea. And I think even the people that go out there every week, members that go to every single game, home and away, fly interstate to watch them, have no idea where the game came from.
Yeah.
If I said, oh, mate, yeah, you love footy. Tom Wills, right? They'd be like, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
Who
is I reckon Tom that's Wills? Probably true as well. It's funny to think that just at that time, this one guy went over to England and that was how it happened. Otherwise, you know, if someone else came back and went, found this great game called rugby, let's just play that, which is more what happened
in
the northern states. Yeah, that was why. Anyway, this is a weird addendum at the end of the episode.
Well, maybe a throw forward to a future episode. Thank you very much, Matt. That was great.
No
Jess,
worries.
How did you find it?
Compelling.
Compelling?
Yeah.
I think that we should go out and start our own league.
Yeah, okay.
Well, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Matt, thank you for going on.
I really did go on. I don't even want to look at how long that went for.
You bloody enjoyed that, and I so did I. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it. I just, I felt like I had nothing to contribute because I know nothing about football. But now I do.
Well, you will know something about something next week, so I believe Jess Perkins might be up next.
Can't wait.
With a report on the next episode.
Yeah, it's going to be top stuff.
Don't tell us, but do you know what you have any ideas?
I had an idea during this one, so I'll start.
Glad you drifted it off.
Yeah. At one point.
Definitely rugby league. Definitely rugby league.
Shut up, Dave.
All right, well, we look forward to that. Thank you very much, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.